so I had to walk away and say, well, we'll have to learn other things somewhere else. That's how you have, we all have to be that way. You just sit around judging everybody, but you also don't turn a blind eye when you see somebody who's doing foolish things, especially if they claim to be in leadership, or just ignore them. I could go on and on about that, but scripture with scripture. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. You see, I had been reading Proverbs since I got saved, and even when they wouldn't come back verbatim, when I saw this preacher had nothing to do with the lowly. Thought he based everything on your status. And I had already learned from God's Word that there's something foolish about that. Some of the wisest people I know were very poor. Don't ever judge somebody based on their bank account, their status. A lot of these people have gotten where they are by being unethical, unbiblical at best. Then a lot of them have been downright crooked. You know, there's a lot of guys who join the Masonic Lodge so that they can get a really good job. Well, that's horrible. To take a blood oath and join a secret society that denies Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven so that you can get a good job. The Masons teach, you got this book over here, Should a Christian Be a Mason? We've got a book in here that documents it. We've got all kinds of other resources. We've got a video as well. The Freemasons say that God is Yah, or Jah, if you want to pronounce that, Baal-Om. That's their name for God. And they basically are an eclectic version of God. It's a universalist type of thing. And if you go into a lodge during lodge meetings and start preaching that Jesus Christ is the only true Savior of the world, and you have to be saved by Jesus Christ or you go to hell, you will be kicked out of the lodge. And if you are not a Christian, you can be sworn in to be a Mason using a Koran or some other holy book. Holy in quotes. So, you see, a lot of these guys, if you were to judge them on their status, you'd think, wow, I must be a real godly man. And here he is taking blood oaths and joining himself with a false secret cult. Another one, there's Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, here's the thing. I just referred to the Masons. You know, a lot of these Masons, they think with the well-advised is wisdom. They're like, hey, I joined that lodge and I got this job. I've got job security. If I lose my job, they basically got a welfare program to take care of me. It's true of the Mormon version of Masonry as well. The Mormon cult is just Freemasonry under another name. Joseph Smith took all their temple stuff from the Masonic temple and put it in the Mormon temple, and he wrote another book, fictitious Book of Mormon and fictitious Book of Abraham, and you know, that kind of stuff. And they think that they are demonstrating wisdom because they did this and look how it's all panned out. So you got to be careful. You get sucked in with that materialistic mindset. If you think your bank account and job security and all that is the important stuff, then you're gonna think you're wise, but you're gonna take a wrong turn. See, and this is what it says in verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Meaning that it is like Lucifer who told Eve, thou shalt not surely die. That fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was just pretty. And seems wise. Now I'm going to know good and evil. Knowledge is power. See? That's the Luciferian lie. Not all knowledge is power. True knowledge, God's knowledge, is power. Any wise man who acts out of pride, jealousy, envy, etc. is not of a godly sort. That's the bottom line. And a lot of times it doesn't have anything to do with you pronouncing anything or confronting anybody. It's just you realizing it so you don't follow in their footsteps. Now look over at Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah 8. You ever look at a stork? I think storks are neat. Verse 7 in Jeremiah 8 says, "Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane." And turtle is in reference, when it's a context of birds, it's a turtle dove. "And the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord." God's people who are falling away from Him are dumber than bird brains. Read verse 8 with me. "How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain." Verse 9, read that. "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them?" And there's people, he's what we already talked about. These are people who really think they're something. Jenny, look up what Job said. "We are the people." Remember that? There's a great verse in Job where he's dealing with people like this. "We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us." You know, that's what the Masons and the Mormons and the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witnesses, all those groups will tell you. They all preach a false gospel of works. They have a false God. Deny the Trinity and deny the deity of Christ and deny the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. But they all believe they're wise. Did you find that? Read it.
Job 12:2. "No doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you."
I just love that. If you read that in its context, it's hilarious. If you're reading Job, you see he's responding to these guys that are yapping in his ear, and they really think they're something. And he says, "No doubt ye are the people, and wisdom will die with you." That's sarcasm. Stinging, biting sarcasm. I love it. Yeah, Mark?
Galatians 6:3 says it all too. "For he who thinks he is something, but he is nothing, deceives himself."
Amen. Right on. And, you know, sometimes we look at a bird like a stork, and you know, they are bird brains and they do dumb things. But they are amazing creatures. Find their way to the top of a pole like that and building a nest like that. And it is. So back in verse 16, it goes on and says, "For where," in James 3, "for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." That's what happens when the wisdom is not from God. This worldly wisdom produced the end time apostasy found in mainline denominations today. The mainline denominations that have homos in their pulpits and doing sodomite marriages and supporting abortion with money from the denominational coffers. The United Methodist denomination is supposed to be, if they hadn't already, they're supposed to be splitting. And there's a bunch of conservative Methodist churches who are going to break off and start a new denomination because the big denomination is totally gone. But that's where you'll find most of the PhDs, most of the seminary graduates, the most right, I joke about calling myself most right-wing reverend. Most right-wing reverend, or most right-wing bishop is what I call myself. But they seriously, I'm just joking, but they seriously want those titles. And if when you introduce them, they insist you introduce them that way. The most right reverend Watson, you know. They think they're something. And they are fools. None of those degrees, none of those titles will do them a thing when they stand before, kneel before Jesus on Judgment Day. Look over, this will, I'm sure, ring a bell with some of you, but let's read in context, Colossians. Colossians 2. Beginning in verse 6, where you turn there. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Read verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. That's one of the most ignored Bible verses in the Bible. That I've read a lot of philosophy, and I've discussed philosophy, and I've seen a lot of men fall into it and drown. But you see, I approach it, and I've tried to encourage others who deal with philosophy, you have to approach it with the Colossians 2:8 attitude. I don't approach philosophy thinking that they have something I need. I have everything I need in the Bible. I've read Plato and Socrates. I've read Aristotle. I've read more recent philosophers, and one of the most recent was a guy named Berkeley. David Hume, these guys, and as I read them, I just read and think, what idiots.
That's right.
I mean, these people are idiotic. You know, they debate whether or not anything exists.
They do, that word.
Berkeley's book in the Harvard Classics, a dialogue between two fictitious characters, and they're debating whether or not anything exists. And there are, I don't know how many, but there are at least into the tens of thousands of people right now in this country, which would explain why we see people elected who are elected. There are people in this country by the tens of thousands who don't believe in existence. They don't believe we're here.
Right here in Williamson, you know, the boys went to school with a young man and... That's what he believes.
I talked to a guy one time and I said, how can you know that we don't exist? If we don't exist, you can't know anything.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
But Paul talked about this too, and this is why I don't argue with them. I don't go around with them very much, because Paul warns us about striving about words. And so I don't. We're going to come back to Colossians 2 one more time, but real quick. In verse 17, look at this. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I just want to break it down real quick. Pure means without envy, pride, deceit, ulterior motive. Wisdom that is of God isn't trying to really impress anybody. It's just wise. It's just wisdom from God. And you'll know that because if you try to compliment somebody who is demonstrating godly wisdom, you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell you, this ain't mine, I'm borrowing it. This wisdom is from God. And there's no ulterior motives, meaning I'm not trying to impress you to get to your wallet, for example, or something else that they can get from you. A lot of the cult leaders try to demonstrate how wise they are so they can get women in bed, or men in bed, in Jim Jones' case. Also says peaceable, meaning desiring peace when possible. It's not bent on discord. I've been around guys who really think they're wise, but they spend all their time causing conflict. That's not of God. That's not the purpose of wisdom. Now, there is a time for there to be differences. You're standing on the side of wisdom and you're dealing with a fool. There's going to be differences. But that's not the goal. Also, it's gentle. That doesn't mean effeminate. Men, you don't have to start talking with a limp wrist and talk like this. That's not gentle. You can be gentle and be John Wayne. Amen. If you don't know that, you need to watch more of his movies. Maybe not McClintock, but there's some other movies. There's some of his movies. What's the one where he was? We watched. Hentz shared it with us. I can't remember the name of that. We watched it last year. I just forgive it anyway. I'll look them up and give you some examples of the one. Cowboys was a good one. Yes, Jessica.
What about
Andy Griffith? Andy Griffith is a pretty good example. Yeah. That's a good example. Yeah. Barney, not so much. You gotta nip it in the butt. But anyway, it means being courteous and without intimidation or verbal abuse. You can be masculine and not. People can be intimidated by masculinity. I mean, there's this toxic masculinity thing, and a lot of what they call toxic masculinity is not. But you know what I'm saying. There's some people that are just, they use their masculinity as a way to bulldoze people. And that's not the way it should be. No verbal abuse, you know. Easy to be entreated. That's easy, means be approachable. Some of these guys are high and mighty and don't have time for the peons like the fellow I was talking about earlier. That's not godly wisdom. You're not demonstrating godly wisdom. Full of mercy. Compassionate, considerate, and forgiving. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying this. We all need to be like this. And I can tell you with clear conscience, anybody that I've had a falling out with in the last, well, my whole life really, but since I'm a Christian, there have been people who I've lost friendships with. There are people who have walked away from me. I'm not going to get too personal, but you all know they could walk through that door right now and I'd forgive them. But I do have to say they'd have to demonstrate repentance in the area that they were wrong on. I've wronged people, and I've been repentant and restored those relationships, but there's sometimes that won't do it. But that's the way you're to be, approachable, ready to forgive, full of mercy, and full of good fruits, a track record and good reputation. Not with the world necessarily, but with other Christians, other Bible-believing Christians. Because if you go out there and talk to the world and some Laodicean Christians and folks like that about me, you'd think I was a horrible person. You go on Google and look at the Bible Believers Fellowship reviews. You'll find several who would make you think that I was a cult leader and I was wicked and I was a racist and all this stuff. But then you'll see other people going on there to set the record straight for me, and I appreciate that. But also, something happened with my little thing there, but without partiality, meaning fair, equal treatment for all. I try to treat everybody the same. If you get under my skin, I'll walk away from you. But up to that point, now, don't think every time I walk away from you, you're under my skin. I also am very busy. But you know what I mean? I try not to, and you know, we talked about that earlier in James. You don't treat people with partiality because of their status or anything like that. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We should treat each other the same without partiality and without hypocrisy, meaning they don't just talk wisdom, but they practice what they preach. So then verse 18, we close the chapter. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. True wisdom will be seen in the life of the wise man. It'll be the fruit of righteousness. Anyone who's truly wise, you will not see wickedness. They're not going to live a life of wickedness. They're not going to leave a trail of destruction behind them. True wisdom can only be fully displayed in the life of a child of God. There are people who are not saved who demonstrate wisdom from time to time, but they're imitating true wisdom. True wisdom begins with the gospel. The key to wisdom and peace. True wisdom comes through the gospel because the gospel is about a person. The person of Jesus Christ. That's why we say this, you bumper stickers, t-shirts. Know Jesus, know peace, with the K-N-O-W. It's also true, know Jesus, N-O, know peace, N-O. And there are a lot of people who really, Jenny and I have talked about a number of people we've gotten to know through things we've watched, things we've read. And they say, wow, it's just a shame. They seem to have a lot of sense and at times and wisdom, and yet they reject the gospel. Makes you think less of their wisdom. So one last time, Colossians 2. I told you we'd come back to that in our close. Colossians 2, 1 to 3, 1 through 3. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Read 2 and 3 with me. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There you go. You want true wisdom, you have to know the source of wisdom, Jesus Christ. Know His Word. And Jesus said in John 14, 6 that we sang about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. The truth. Not a truth. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is wisdom. We've been going through Proverbs, 5-minute devotionals every Monday through Friday, every day, and numerous times pointing out that Jesus is wisdom incarnate. When you read about wisdom, it's all embodied in Jesus Christ. If you walk in Him, or I'll put it this way, walk in Him, and you will walk in wisdom. Bottom line. All right, that's where we close.